This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
I do want to remind everybody, I don't even know if they know this, but we have a big basketball game on 98.7 tonight. We have the first, one of the two playing games tonight. We have the Warriors and the King, the play-by-play at 9:30. So Dan Grosser will be on right after our show from 6:30 to 9:30, then 9:30 till the completion of the game, the Warriors against the Sacramento Kings. And that should be interesting. The Knicks, we know, are waiting for the winner tomorrow of the Sixers against the Heat. Who do you want? Who are you rooting for? Who do you think the Knicks have a better chance against? Me, if I had to choose, just because I'm spooked by the Heat. I just am, because I thought the Knicks were better last year, and the Heat kind of ran them off the court. So I guess I'm rooting for the Sixers, because I think they have enough big men and enough fouls to really handle Joel and Embiid, and I just think the Knicks are a better team than the Sixers. So we'll know following tomorrow exactly who they're going to play. And as Don said, Saturday looks like the Knicks at the Garden. Sunday it's going to be the Rangers. Monday, Knicks. Tuesday, Rangers. So four straight potentially great games at Madison Square Garden. So we'll be all over it. We'll have people there. Can't wait to see it.
I don't know if we'll hold that way, because the NBA sometimes stretches these first round matchups, gives multiple days off so they can get the most games on television. But at least early on there, think about it. Knicks playoff game Saturday, then the Rangers Sunday, Knicks Monday, Rangers Tuesday. It just sets up like every day there's going to be such a level of importance. And to have the Rangers be the one seed overall, to have the Knicks be a two seed in the Eastern Conference, that's could be really incredible stuff. And you might get rivalries in the first round, right? I mean, no matter who it is, whether it's Miami or Philadelphia, that's a rival for the Knicks. Rangers could get Washington and Alexander Ovechkin. That's a rivalry. Could be Pittsburgh with Sidney Crosby. You could be Detroit, an original six matchup. Maybe Philadelphia, a divisional opponent. That'd be something if both the Knicks and the Rangers are playing a Philadelphia team in
now,
the first round.
I'm considering, I know a lot of people holding their breath on this. I'm considering, because I am not doing the Yankees A series at home.
Interesting.
I'm considering going to the Knicks on Monday, Rangers on Tuesday. I'm considering.
No, you're not.
No, I am.
Well, we should make it a thing then.
Yeah, but getting us all in the suite.
I've got Raw on Monday.
No, I didn't say that.
I know what you were thinking.
No.
You don't
know. Well, listen, it's good that you brought it up. Of course I do. And I don't know if you're aware, but my podcast, Cheap Heat with Peter Rosenberg, it's out on its own.
Wait a minute. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Cheap Heat. So it's not with the Ringer anymore.
Not with the Ringer. You got to look for this beautiful orange and black logo.
Why are you so high on the orange and black logo? That's
well, I have it stand out. First of all, I think it's a gorgeous. Have you seen it, Don?
I have not seen it.
I think it's a gorgeous logo, and I'm proud of it. But also, it just. I don't want you to accidentally confuse it with the Ringer wrestling show that I used to be on. So you're looking for this logo right here. Don, there you go. That's what you're looking for.
That's
right
very nice.
You see
well
the
done.
Crowd inside the letters? It's beautiful.
Absolutely.
But no, I wasn't even going to mention Cheap Heat, which is available wherever you find podcasts. I was just going to say, are we really all going to be able to get in the suite for a playoff
game? Like to see them stop us.
Well, I got to tell
God.
You.
I like it.
It's a lot more heavy lifting than it used to be. I'll just say that.
Yeah, but we get in with a press pass, right?
Yes.
And they don't want to meet the afternoon drive. All of our clients don't want to meet the afternoon drive guys.
They usually introduce me when I'm there. So
Listen, here's the thing, though. I'm out.
I got Raw on Monday.
You're going to play. You're going to end up looking like a bad guy. Keep thinking.
Monday.
I know
Passover.
It's a Jewish holiday.
Can't do it.
It's funny the things that Passover gets in the way of.
I know. It's
funny when Peter becomes religious.
Do we have to do this every single holiday? It's a tradition.
I'm just saying that if, God forbid, WrestleMania was on Passover.
Yes. Well, it's close every year, right?
Yeah.
Well, let's say it landed on Passover. Would you pass or would you actually work?
Would you pass over?
Would I pass over WrestleMania?
You wouldn't.
Probably not. But this isn't WrestleMania. This
you
is
don't
going
know what
to
it
a
is.
Knick.
You have no idea what it could end up being.
On.
No, it's about doing something we've never done before. Back-to-back playoff games. Knicks on Monday, Rangers on Tuesday.
Well, can I ask you a question then?
All of us together.
What about because Yankees play Saturday, huh?
Yeah.
This is kind of...
So, Michael, you're off which days?
What was that?
What days are you off next week?
Monday through Thursday.
Monday through Thursday.
It's really a perfect storm.
And then Wednesday, of course, the Knicks are then on the road.
Right.
All right. So you want to travel for the Knicks game? Let's go somewhere.
I'll tell you what.
Well, wait a second. So what exactly takes place in Passover? You have a Seder, right?
Correct.
Can't we have that in the suite?
Oh, that's a good question. What if we call ahead?
Well, hold on real quick. Here's the question. I don't think our sales guys will even let the three of us in. Do you think they'll accept Natalie and my parents as well?
Now all of a sudden they're part of it.
Well, what do you mean? I'm hosting them for Passover. It's my parents, for God's sake.
But now I'm going to take it to the next level.
Okay, here we go.
Like a sports again.
All right.
If it's Knicks Sixers and Rangers Flyers.
Oof, that's good stuff. I'll be there for the Rangers Flyers game.
We've got Monday Knicks Sixers.
Right.
Tuesday Rangers Flyers.
I'm there.
Possibly.
Yeah, I'm there.
And then what if it's Wednesday Knicks in Philly? And then the Rangers in Philly on Thursday. Michael's off Monday through Thursday. We take the train down. Gentlemen.
I would do everyone but Monday. Games. I'll do everyone but Monday.
But you'll feel hollow inside. Know that we did this epic thing and you weren't in on all the games.
Listen, the Seder is like, you guys don't understand. It's like,
I don't.
Because you're thinking of it as being like religious. You should think of it more like being, it's like Thanksgiving in America.
Okay,
some great patriot
have
Thanksgiving.
If it was really, really tied to religion, then I totally get it. You could blow off Thanksgiving for something great.
If you had to, yes.
Yeah, of course.
And you could blow off a Seder if you had to. It's not Yom Kippur. That's a tough one to blow off.
That's a really serious
religion. So the reason I couldn't do it in this specific case is because we actively made plans already without knowing the Knicks playoff schedule.
Of course.
To invite my parents to New York to host them for. So it's not about the religion much as the decent son
part. So if you weren't hosting, it was just you and Natalie.
Oh, yeah, I'm going.
Michael, we could still do it.
I think I will.
Now, what are the odds? We know what it'll take for the Knicks to get the... In order for the Knicks to get the Sixers simply have to get the 7th seed. And then
they have to win the game tomorrow.
They just win their game, that's it.
Right.
And
I'm going to tell you this.
Is it Flyers win in 8?
Way too much to describe.
Way too much.
The Flyers are
Penguins gone. Lose, Flyers win... Caps lose.
Yeah, there's a lot.
All in regulation. No overtime points.
I've taken the train to D.C. It's wonderful.
It's wonderful?
It's a wonderful train ride. Yeah, movie.
You get the Acela.
The Acela, I'm going to tell you right now. The Acela is the biggest ripoff in the travel industry today.
What are you talking about?
It's 30 minutes faster.
Yeah.
And they charge you like $270. I mean, if you luck out and catch a good one, it's not too bad. But a lot of those fares, Don, now you're not paying for it. You're going when it's the Rangers and they're picking up the tab. But if you're paying for it, for a half hour saved, it's terrible.
Of course, is unbelievable.
I think sales can sell this. It's sports-ageddon.
No, listen. If it were to happen.
Sports-K-ageddon.
No, we couldn't. The problem is, I was just going to say, you know what we should do? It would be great. I was just at Chickie's and Pete's in Philly.
It's really good.
It's incredible. And Dipperstein's family is close friends with the Chickie's and Pete's family.
Is it Chickie or Pete? Who are they close with?
They're Pete.
Okay.
Pete. And now Pete, it's being run by Pete Jr. Now, of course, they would not want to house, I'm guessing, a New York sports talk show for a... Sixers.
Why not? Philly's very friendly. It's a city of brotherly love.
So they just got to give us a little space.
I will tell you this. I think it's going to be a great, great test on Monday, Don.
What is?
Where we actually, you and I, walk into the suite. And then we're told we can't go. It's too crowded. That's when it's time to go.
Oh, no. Then it's time for you to go.
No.
Then it's time to go. Then you're not important enough.
But this is how it would go down, Peter. They'd ask me to leave. They're not asking Michael.
And you know what? And this is how it's going to go down, Peter. If Don goes, I go.
Well, see, that's class.
It's a lie, but it's class.
No, if Don goes, I go.
No, but here's the thing. It's not really about actual room in the suites. You've got the seats, and then you've got the stools. They would just have us sit on the couch away from the action. We'd have to watch it on the TV.
Why can't we stand up? Behind the stool.
Yeah, I think we could do that.
Well, you just got to make sure that...
Don't clog a seat. because no, and I get it. Listen, this is our sponsors. We've got to take care of these people. But the reason we have sponsors is because of us.
Ooh, strong. Cocky almost.
Well, I'm just saying.
Really?
You disagree?
Listen, you got to make sure Jake Asman has a seat. And then once he has his seat, you go find a seat wherever you find.
I love Jake, but he's getting dragged out by his hair. If I got to sit in the hall because Jake's in there.
I don't think
And that goes for Grasa, whoever. They're getting
dragged out. Your best friend out by his hair?
Well, first of all, I dare you to try to grab Ty's hair. That would be he's a very short cut for you to try to do.
No, but, you know, I'm just trying to make a point.
Even Grasa.
And also, Grasa has a lot of product in his hair. You can't grab
your arm will break.
The only one that would really give us trouble is Jay.
You mean physically?
No, meaning would be that
might
guy.
Be in the seat.
Grasa hasn't entered the garden since like pre-pandemic. We don't have to worry about him, he may be a little chatty, but Ty Butler knows his place. He's a good kid.
No, Ty. Well, Ty. By the way, yes, absolutely. Ty is a very modest gentleman.
Jake's career is in fifth gear the second he wakes up. He showers with a microphone,
which is dangerous with a jet
mic flight.
All right, what if? Trying to think of who else you could drag by. Who else you would drag by your
How
hair?
How about for
the Rothenberg? Well, no, he can't do anything. First of all, he's too big, and second of all, he's the morning guy. He can't do it.
In some circles, he's more important than me.
That's right.
What circle is that?
Just like the eyes of the program director, things of that nature.
Yeah, and just, you know, name on the show. If you were just somebody you never listened, you'd take a look and go, all right, this guy, what does Don do? Does he sweep up after? I see Rothenberg. I see a name. Peter and Don, who are these people?
Graphics Joker just made a great point on Twitter. He said, "If tell Peter if he goes on Monday, he could tell everyone in the suite about the podcast."
You know, it's a really good point by you, Graphics Joker. And that's exactly what I would do.
Why don't you just carry a sign or hand out cards with that great logo? I heard it's a great logo.
You've heard it's orange and black. People are very into the logo.
It's an Oriole logo, pretty much.
Or Giants,
by the way,
maybe?
Greek, you know what? Let me send Greek the logo. I'm going to send Greek a picture of it. Make sure we get up on the screen.
Yeah, because, get ready for the 6 o'clock hour promo.
Let's go to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. Ray in Westchester. Ray, what's up?
Yeah, hi, Michael and Don and Peter. Love the show.
Thanks.
Here's my question. I go back a long ways with Yankee baseball, go back to the days of Mel Allen, Red Barber, Rizzuto, and Coleman, all the way up through to you and John. And here's a question to Michael. I don't think you might not want to answer this, but I'm going to pose it to Don and Peter. Since John is now retiring, he was always introduced as the voice of the Yankees. Do you now assume the mantle? I think you should, but I've never heard you referred to as the voice of the Yankees. And I'm just wondering if now is the time.
Too soon.
Yeah. No, it's not too soon.
Well, first of all, decision.
I've been introduced as the television voice. When John and I are introduced, radio voice of the Yankees, television voice of the Yankees. I think it's silly, and I'll say what I always say. Mel Allen is the voice of the Yankees. Everybody else is just renting the spot until they give it up. But Mel Allen is always going to be the voice of the Yankees. All the championships, when he did the games, the players that he called. So I don't even involve myself in that sort of stuff.
But he was asking us, you're the voice of the Yankees. Who else is it going to be? I mean, you can be not old, and Bob Murphy's always the voice of the Mets.
I know you don't like saying this about yourself, yeah. but in all fairness, people have referred to you at this point in time already, if they're introducing you as something, as the voice of the Yankees,
they
I'm sure.
Do. And then you correct them and say, no. I'm a television.
But now you don't have to.
No, I would still feel awkward because I think that Mel Allen's the voice of the Yankees.
What's the name of the kid who's likely going to be stepping in for John's?
Well, it's two young men, Justin Shackle.
That's right,
Emmanuel Barberi.
Right, Shackle and Barberi. Now, how would you feel, Michael, if just 3 days in they just changed their Twitter profile, voice of the New York Yankees? Done.
God bless them.
Who's hosting? Well, let's be honest. Let's call it like it is.
All right,
Old Timers Day.
You know, I thought about that.
Did you?
I mean, I would hope that John comes back and does it with me. I don't know if he'd want to. It'll be weird to do it alone. I did when I first started doing it, though. I did it alone.
What about Susan? They wouldn't move Susan in with you?
They could. She has, you know, responsibilities on the radio.
All right. Now,
I don't know what. I mean, that's a decision above my pay grade.
So at this point, the belief is Shackle and Barbera, you'd imagine, would be going back and forth with, and Susan will be there every game.
I believe that's the case, but I'm not privy
to
the plan.
Right, we're guessing. Okay.
Not privy. Let's go to Tyler in New Jersey. Tyler.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
How you doing? Good, good. Two quick points. More towards Don, but about the four teams that are left, I personally think the Flyers are the worst matchup for the Rangers, but since they have the worst chance of making it to that final wild card spot, I'm not going to include them. So, Don, out of the other three teams, who do you think would match up best against the Rangers? And also, what's one thing in the offseason that the Devils have to do to makeshift what happened this year?
Well, they just got to get better on the blue line. They'll get Hamilton back. They got to get better defensively. There's no question about that. And we'll see if they're going to address the goaltending as well, because I like Jake Allen's nice. He's not going to be the answer moving forward. But to get to the point of, listen, I think that, of the teams, I want Philly. I think they match up very well against Philly. I don't love their goaltending. They don't really have anybody outside of Konecki that can score on a consistent basis. I think you'd want that matchup bad against Philly. I think that's the best of the matchups. Washington, I think they beat any of them, Michael. But Pittsburgh, you got Crosby. 42 goals for Sidney Crosby this year. Outstanding season. Over 90 points. Tristan Jarry's a good goaltender. They've got, you know, the pedigree, certainly. I think they match up in this order. I'd rather face Philly, Detroit, Washington, Pittsburgh. So that would be my descending order of who I'd want to match up with if I'm the Rangers. I'd want Philly first. I would want Detroit second. Washington, then Pittsburgh.
You know, it's funny. I hear constant criticism of the Penguins. They should break it up. And they keep making the playoffs.
Well,
why should they break it up?
They missed the playoffs last year, Michael.
They're always contending for it.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Michael. They had to give up Jake Guentzel for basically, you know, they got Bunting back, but they had to give up a player they really wanted because they can't afford him, because they're stuck with contracts with Letang, who's older, Malkin that's older, Crosby's not getting any younger, although he's been fabulous this year. They're in bad contracts, and they can't get out of these deals.
Right,
and
so they can't break it up.
Well, yeah, but it's not good, Michael, because in all likelihood, they're going to miss the playoffs. That's two straight years of missing the playoffs. And then before that, they got bounced in the first round of the playoffs. Michael, they're not winning a cup anytime soon, and they can't find a way to get better until these contracts expire. They're immovable. You can't move Letang. You can't move Malkin. The one guy you can move is Crosby, but apparently they don't want to do that because he's the face of Pittsburgh. But I think they're kind of stuck. So you're right, Michael. They are contending. They're in it every year. But in all likelihood, this is going to be two straight years of missing the playoffs. It's been a while now since they've been out of the first round. So is that a good thing? Because now you're not drafting high, right? You're still drafting in the middle of the pack because you almost make the playoffs but don't. So how are you supposed to get any better unless you start moving some things around?
But from what you're telling us, though, it seems like it's unbreakable.
Unless you wanted to part ways with Crosby.
Well, but that's a non-starter. Why would you do that? He's a legend.
Yeah, it's just they don't
then
have the appetite.
Then you're not going to get out of it until these contracts expire. So I get it. He's the face of the franchise. But if you really want to get better, and I also ask Sid, does he want to have the waning years of his career, although he's still very good, but was he born in 87? So he's, what, 30?
He's in mid-30s.
He's mid-30s. So he could still play another 3-4 years, but it could be 3-4 years before this team can get out from under. Does he want his career, at the end of his brilliant career, to be on a team where he doesn't go to the playoffs for like half a decade and forced to retire? Or would he like to go someplace where he's got a chance to compete for a Stanley Cup, and Pittsburgh can now kind of retool?
Everything Don has said when this has come up has been reasonable, Michael, and I hate it. He's the only person I see banging the drum for Sid to go. I mean, listen, he's done so much. I hear you. But I wonder, unless you're definitively going to win a cup elsewhere, wouldn't you rather just finish it out 20 years in the same place?
I don't know. You'd have to ask him, but I think he's a winner.
And also,
that's already
like
over.
Ray Bourque got traded to win the cup because he'd never won a cup.
Right. I mean, Sid has three. Sid has three cups. Yeah. He has a world championship. Right. He's got so much already. I just don't know if obviously,
hey,
I'm
listen,
biased.
If he's cool, then I guess you don't worry about him.
Well, the only way you trade him, Don, is if he wants to be traded.
Right, exactly. So then you're right. It's not going to happen if he doesn't want to go. But if he wanted to go and you've got a chance to get better as a franchise, then I think you have to think about it. I mean, I know the city loves him. They love Mario. But at some point, I think they want to get a team that can compete for a Stanley Cup. And or is it just going to be the retirement tour for Sidney Crosby, where he plays great and he gets 90 points and 40 goals on a team that barely misses the playoffs every year, and then he retires?
But you can't really feel sorry for the city. They've won 3 cups since the Rangers last won a cup.
I know, but you know, Kyle Dubas.
It's not like a big drought.
Kyle Dubas didn't win any of those, and he's the general manager now. I mean, he wants to build the best team possible. I don't think he wants to babysit Sid. Again, we're talking in circles. I talk to everybody in Pittsburgh. When I even bring it up to me, they turn white as a ghost. It's not going to happen. But I just know, as from the outside looking in, that is the only piece they could move if they really want to get out from under. Because nobody wants Malkin. Nobody wants Letang. And they're kind of stuck. They went out and got Carlson after he scored like 100 points and won an Norris Trophy in San Jose. Gave him an outrageous amount of money. And he's not the player that he's supposed to be. So they're stuck. So if they're cool with being stuck and watching
Sid. I love that they tried.
Right.
I appreciate it. It's a group that's been amazing for you.
Won
they
three
tried.
Cups.
You tried again. Yeah. I get it. Of all the things to be mad about, how can you be mad that they tried again with those guys?
I mean, think about it. If you're a Yankee fan, right? And in 95, you go, you know what? We'd be better off without Mattingly. We could reset this. It's undoable. Mm-hmm. The only way you trade those guys is if they ask to be traded.
No. That's a bad comp by you.
Because Mattingly never won a title.
Right. You'd have to go, you'd want to fast forward, Michael, instead to 2002, 2003, and say you had an opportunity. You know what? They decided to keep three pieces of the core four. But who's complaining about that?
Yeah, but here's the Yankees. They went to the World Series, and they won the World Series in 2000, lost in the World Series in 2001, went to the playoffs in 2002, lost in the World Series in 2003, came within a game of going to the World Series in 2004. They were going to the playoffs every year. Imagine the Yankees if they won in 2000 and missed the playoffs for 5-6 straight years.
I hear you.
And as Jeter started to age, would you ever consider, or were any of the other core four, and say, hey, we can get something for Bernie here. We can get something for Jorge here and get out from, you know, missing, you know, finishing 82-80 every year. You don't think Yankee fans would want to at least visit, you know, kick the tires on something like that?
Not again. I think you're landlocked unless the guy says trade me. They're civic institutions, especially Sidney Crosby.
Well, and with the Yankee fan, you got to ask specifically with Jeter. Would they want to move Jeter? Because that's what Sid is.
And maybe
better.
And it's funny with Phil, you know, talking to Phil Bork, who's, you know, was there forever, and he's their radio analyst. That's exactly who he compared Crosby to, Derek Jeter. Like, in every way, shape, or form, the way he wins, the way he conducts himself, what he means to the city. But I'll ask you, Michael, if the Yankees were in a 3-4 year run of missing the playoffs and they were landlocked with a lot of contracts and you knew you can restart your organization by trading Derek Jeter.
I don't think they could do it.
Now, if he demanded a deal,
you don't
know. And
also, it's a bad comp because there's no cap in baseball. The NHL, there's just so much you can spend.
Yeah, that's what's killing them, is that there's not a lot of room for error there.
Don, I'm going to turn to Peter right now and ask him to talk about Dodge.
That's an interesting setup that I've never seen before. Peter here for Security Dodge, Long Island Ram and Wrangler headquarters. Did you hear their 30 for 30 sale? Come get some. You can take up to 30% off MSRP during the next 30 days on brand new Jeep Grand Cherokee 4XEs, Gladiators, Wagoneers, Grand Wagoneers, all up to 30% off MSRP. Go visit Michelle Scalise during their Jeep celebration event and come get some.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we really have to thank Kendrick Perkins. I think it's only right.
Oh, yeah.
Because he has gotten us so much play from his comments yesterday about
Charles and Shaq.
He's, I asked him why are they so down on the Knicks, and he said, "Well, obviously they don't watch the games." I mean, very, very honest.
Well, and he went into it. He didn't just say it casually. He said, "I mean, that's the only explanation I could come up with is they must not watch the games. He kept going. He said they probably only watch the Knicks when the Knicks are on TNT."
Well, the Dunk Central on X, which has over 1 million followers, it was great NBA. Follow. They took the quote and they gave us credit too, so thank them for that. And then Shaq just answered and he added the Dunk Central, right? He said, "Can a non Hall of Famer speak on two Hall of Famers? Just asking."
That's such a weak. That's so weak.
Love it, Shaq, but that doesn't have anything to do with
that.
But
that is in that same territory. Well, you never played. You can't have an opinion.
Right.
Well, he never questioned their basketball knowledge. As a matter of fact, I think
he said
excusing it by saying, you're not watching. And they're paid to watch the games that are on TNT. I'm not saying they don't watch the Knicks, but the Knicks aren't on TNT all the time.
Do you know what he essentially said, Don? What Perk essentially said?
What?
Wake up, Flip. He just wants them to watch.
So they went to the Hall of Fame, but he's not saying that they're not great basketball players. He's not saying they're not knowledgeable. He's saying, well, if they don't agree with me, they must not be watching as much Knicks basketball as I am. That's so weak of Shaq.
It's a great fallback, though.
No, it's not.
I'm a Hall of Famer and you're not.
But
that's what you're going to go to.
No, but what does that have to do with their opinion on the Knicks? All right, Perkins, so you're telling me because they're Hall of Famers, honestly, and without naming names, Michael, between the two of us, and even Peter, have worked with a ton of former athletes. And how good they were at their sport does not relate to the amount of knowledge they have on the sport. Just because you're a Hall of Famer, does that make you a great analyst? Like, Troy Aikman's in the Hall of Fame. That's not the reason I think he's better than Tony Romo. Right? I don't think how well you played the sport relates to how knowledgeable you are at it, or how informed you are about it.
David Cohn's not a Hall of Famer. He's a great analyst.
Yeah, and there's plenty. Every time they put it to a vote, the best booth is always the San Francisco Giants or Kruk and Kipe, right? They're not Hall of Famers. They both played, but they're not on a Hall of Fame level, but they're still great at what they do. And for them to devalue Perkins and his opinion because he's not a Hall of Famer, that doesn't make any sense to me.
He's won a championship, though.
Yeah, but he played the sport. So you have to be great at it?
I mean,
if that were the case, Michael, then there would be every great athlete would become great coaches. But that's not always the case.
Unfortunately for Kendrick, it was Shaq who responded and not Charles. Because if it was Charles, then if they want to play that game, he could easily come back with the ring at Charles.
I can't see Perkins doing that. He doesn't seem like that type.
No, I don't think he would. I think he's standing by his answer. And by the way, I do get the sense from every time I've heard from Perkins, seen him on TV, I worked with him some, he watches a lot of basketball. And by the way, guys, just a little, I mean, this is kind of inside baseball. I don't know how much Shaq and Charles actually watch every night when they're not working, but probably, I'm just guessing, don't know if they watch as much as Perk, who's new to the industry and kind of proving himself. He's really deep into the game
right now. And again, I don't think he was insulting. He just said, I don't think they're watching as much Knicks basketball.
He's saying their opinion's wrong.
But.
And he's doing it under the guise of, you must. Like, Don, if you said to me, I don't like the X album by so-and-so, I'm like, well, you just don't listen to music. You obviously don't listen to music.
He didn't say they didn't know basketball. He just said they're not watching the Knicks enough.
But it's still implying you're not doing your job, is what he's essentially saying. I mean, we're making it sound nicer, but I don't want to pretend as if Perk wasn't somewhat insulting.
I'm trying to think, like a musical comp would be, if there's just a brilliant album, and you were to say, I think the new Jay-Z album is the best album I've ever heard.
Okay.
And you disagree. And I say, well, you know, maybe Peter's got to listen to it a little bit more. Would you be insulted by that?
If you said it that way, he didn't say it that way. He said they must not be watching. He didn't say, hey, you know what? Maybe they need to watch them a little more. Maybe they just haven't gotten the shape. The way that he shaped the sentence matters, though. Well,
Can we play it?
You're damn right we can. You want to hear it?
I want to hear it.
I have it right here. Here we go. Michael asked a question. Why do guys like Shaq and Barkley downplay the Knicks?
Because obviously they don't watch basketball. I'm serious. They can't watch basketball on a consistent basis. The only time that they actually probably watch the Knicks are when they're covering the Knicks on their game night. So if you're watching the New York Knicks, there's no way in hell that you could just downplay the way that they've been playing the game of basketball. If you're watching the New York Knicks, there's no way in hell that you could downplay that Jalen Brunson has been the best player in the Eastern Conference. If you're watching the Knicks, there's no way that you could downplay that Josh Hart has been one of the best rebounding guards in the league outside of Luka Doncic. Like, if you don't watch the Knicks on a consistent basis, then you don't know.
Hey, we've been saying that all year, that maybe we're biased to the Knicks because we watch them way more than everybody else. The Knicks are definitely a team you have to watch to appreciate. And so he's already telling you, hey, I can't go after their knowledge. They're certainly knowledgeable. So why don't they share my opinion? Because they probably don't watch as much Knicks
Michael,
as I do.
Michael, you hear what I'm saying, though. There was... I love Perkins.
Well, there's shade. He's throwing shade.
There's shade. They must not. Listen to the first sentence, Don.
Because obviously they don't watch basketball. I'm serious. They can't watch basketball on a consistent basis. The only time that they actually...
Just saying that to other people who analyze basketball. Right, so, that's got to be something.
I loved it, but... All right, so Shaq's insulted, right? Shaq's comeback is that he's in the Hall of Fame? Why don't you defend yourself and say, I am watching Knicks basketball. He's wrong. I'm watching them as much as I can, and I have a different... So he's a Hall of Famer. Did you answer the question?
His comeback would have been, I watched playing Knicks games. I still don't think they're going to win.
Right.
That's right. That's fair. I don't think it's a good comeback.
So the fact that Shaq's in the Hall of Fame excuses him from having to watch games to know who's going to win or lose? It's such a weak comeback.
To give Perkins a little bit of a slide here, maybe he felt that with their work commitment, they can't watch every game. They've got to watch the game that they're broadcasting.
But that's after the first bit of, as you put it, shade in the first sentence, they're obviously not watching basketball. He walks it back, and the next statement is, hey, when they're watching the game on TNT, they've got to watch the game on TNT. They're analyzing that. They can't sit there and watch all the games like Perkins can. So he sits there, Shaq and everybody involved, and Charles, and if they've got Lakers-Warriors, they're going to watch that game. They can't watch other games because they got to come on at the half and post game and break that game down.
All right. Now, we over the last couple of days, have been talking about John Sterling hanging it up. Well, I mean, really an iconic voice in Boston is hanging it up, Don. I don't know if you saw this, but Jack Edwards is going to end his run as the voice of the Bruins hockey.
Yeah.
So is this a shock?
Yeah. No, because I think that was been speculated for a while. He's not even really that old. I think he's like 67, 68 years old.
He's been doing it over two decades.
But they've been talking about it. I mean, of course, he was a lot of people know him. Peter, you may know him. He was at ESPN for a long time before he took the Bruins job. But he's been doing it for a couple of decades. Of course, television voice. So, you know, good luck into his endeavors moving forward.
Wow. Two iconic voices. 1-800-919-3776. Go to Barbara in Middletown. Barbara.
Hi, guys. Thank you for taking the call.
Always.
You got it.
I love you guys. And hey, with getting into the suite real fast, I just want to say you are the morning drive for Damian Priest. If you listen to that when
Great
they were
point.
Talking to Damian Priest, he said, yeah, there's a lot of workers out there that don't go to their job at 6 a.m., 5 a.m., whenever it is those other guys are on.
Great point, Barbara.
But not why I called. I adore John Sterling. I hope that Flip will play the center stage where you interview him, Michael, over and over again, because it's a great interview and great stories. And he's just such one of a kind. But I'm lucky. I actually was listening to him on that day. I was working in my garden and listening to John and Susan. And, I don't like the pitch clock because it interrupts. It makes him not have as much time for his stories. And to me, part of my love of baseball is the time to share stories and to hear stories and to not be rushed. I mean, there's so many things in our life that is telling our brains to have shorter attention spans. I celebrate baseball as being something that keeps your attention
It's an astute point by you, Barbara. And I've always felt people said, well, how's it going to change your broadcast, the pitch clock? I said, I'm not going to change our broadcast at all on TV. We can talk over pitch. I mean, you see the pictures. It was and would and did affect radio. All the ads they have to read, you can't tell stories. I mean, every single pitch is almost sponsored. So you can't. Once the pitch clock took place, you cutting down on the stories that both announcers could tell. Now, the play-by-play guy has to do the play-by-play. I think it affected Susan as well. Now, another Boston icon, Don.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Gorman is retiring. 43 years.
He's so good.
As the voice of the Celtics.
Hell of a run.
What did John start here?
43 years. That's more than John.
I mean, it's my whole life. That's been the voice I've heard of every Celtics local broadcast my whole life.
Maybe this is the time if you think about getting out. It's just everybody get out.
Interesting. That's a lot of changeover in Boston, Mike.
Yeah, really. Let's go to Frank in Brooklyn. Frankie.
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good.
How
are you?
How you doing?
I'm doing great. One thing I hate is how there are so many just this new generation. And I think Mike and Chris started this of media critics who don't really know anything and don't listen to anything and just parrot like the narrative that John Sterling was a homer because why? He had an exuberant home run call. John Sterling is the reason why I fell in love, and I hate the Yankees, but I fell in love with baseball because I love radio. And in the 90s, started listening to you and John and fell in love with baseball because of his stories and because of his passion for the game. And every time the Yankees struggled or played below their payroll expectations,
he killed them.
You know what? It was a fun listen. He had so much respect. You know, those halcyon days, those early 2000s of the Red Sox-Yankees. I mean, that was my favorite epoch in baseball. He had so much respect for Manny and for Damon and for Millar. You could hear it. You know, he didn't have disdain for those guys. He loved the rivalry, and he was completely impartial, I thought. Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about a hack? How about, you remember Hawk Harrelson with the White Sox?
Oh, yeah.
That was a homer.
Well, Hawk was a Yankee guy for a while, too, during a really bad time.
See, I'm glad you brought up Hawk. You know, I like Hawk, but, you know, Hawk was a homer. And Jim Cott was once interviewed for the Cubs job. And they said to him, are you willing to root for the team? He said, I don't root for a team. I'm a broadcaster. Well, you have to in Chicago. In Chicago, you really have to pull for your team. And Hawk Harrelson used to go good guys two, bad guys one. And I always bring up, if you think John's a homer, listen to the final call of Game 7 of 2001, Yankees Diamondbacks World Series. It's the last game we ever worked together. Go listen and see, would a homer call that way?
But you know what? We've had this conversation before, Michael. What makes New York different? Are people like Mushnick and Raceman and Andrew Marchand?
There's critics in every place.
No, I understand that, but it's different. I mean, I think the fans in New York probably want it the same way as in other places. Now, the difference is there's so many teams. You might have Met fans listening to Yankee broadcasts and Islander fans watching the Ranger game or something, which is different and unique to other cities. But how do we know that the fans out in New York want their announcer to be neutral? I would say they probably want their announcer to be happy the team wins and wants that. But unfortunately, you're held to a certain scrutiny because there's so many media columns in New York that tell you that that's the wrong way to do it. But do we know that's what the New York fan wants?
Well, I think the bosses, though, they don't want you to be like that either. They just don't. So they want you to, you know, not. Hey, listen, I want you to tell me anybody who's working as a broadcaster for a team, who's around the team all the time, and they're not happy when the team wins. It's nonsense. Does that make you a homer? No, it makes you a homer if you go two good guys, two bad guys, one. And if somebody on the other team hits a home run and you go, oh, that one's gone. I mean, I hear that all around sports. Those are homers. It just doesn't happen in New York. If I go see you, Don, maybe you're right. If I go see you, like if Vlad Guerrero hits a home run tonight and I go see you, I get ripped on social media. Why are you excited about the opposing team's home run? See ya!
Meanwhile, if you go the other way, you might get ripped too in the newspapers.
Right, absolutely. So
it's lose-lose.
Lose-lose. I've got a big question about a television critic that I've got to ask you guys when we get back. And I wonder what the answer is going to be.
You don't know.
I think I know, but I wonder what you guys think. But first, Don, do you have something to tell us with Mazda?
I do. Get more in a new Mazda from Ramsey Mazda. More selection, over 750 new vehicles available, and more savings on their entire Mazda lineup. Lease the all-new 2024 Mazda CX-90 PHEV Preferred for just $299 a month. At Ramsey Mazda, Route 17 North in Ramsey. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Call 888-885-2891 for lease details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN R115706-4. MSRP 51,320. Ends 4/30/24.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
The Point God.
You have made no good points, Peter.
You're so right, Michael.
I think you made some salient points.
Yeah, because you're an ass. I do sort of enjoy the art of framing. It's a random skill that I appreciate. Now, whether an umpire should perpetually be duped by it is in the eye of the beholder. But I do think it's sort of a cool thing that I kind of will miss to some degree when we go to robot umps. See, I got to tell you, that's kind of like a fun challenge to watch. As far as challenges go and like ways to use the challenge in sports, I think actually challenging a pitch and seeing whether or not the ball actually crossed the plate as a strike versus whether the catcher moved it would be a fun challenge for a viewer to watch at home.
You know what? I agree with the choice. And the reason why it's the Point God today, his expert use of the word dupe. It's not used enough.
No, thank
Holy
you.
Holy crap.
Well, you know what, Mike? I'm glad you brought that up, and it makes me want to bring something up, and that is that my Cheap Heat podcast is available everywhere. Greek, I'm going to go ahead and call for the new graphic. This is the graphic you're going to want to look for when you search on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Amazon Music. That's the logo you're looking for. Look at that gorgeous logo.
Midge.
Thank you. Well done. So that's the logo you're looking for. Nice.
Wow. That is really beautiful.
Yeah. And listen,
Best of luck, Peter. Don't
get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. The algorithms when it comes to podcasts are stupid. Like, it's just, it's hard to make sense of them, and they heavily reward new podcasts. But, Michael, when I opened up the podcast charts and I saw that I'm right behind the Kelseys, that makes you feel good.
Oh, beautiful. Good for you.
Now, surpassing the Kelseys is going to be a problem. Speaking of which, Michael, did you hear that Travis Kelce has a new gig?
No. What's he doing?
Oh, I'll tell you during ENN.
Okay.
You hear that?
I'm gonna pay off the tease I had.
Okay.
So, since John Sterling got to New York, Phil Mushnick has not liked his style.
No, not for him.
I mean, he has killed him year after year, week after week, month after month. It just doesn't like John's act. Just doesn't
like
it.
The cut of his jib.
Doesn't like it. I mean, John doesn't like him, all right?
I'm sure.
Do you believe... Now, Phil has his columns on Friday and Sunday in the Post. John's going to have a field ceremony on Saturday afternoon. Does Phil give him a break, or does he just destroy him on Friday for all of his past missteps in Phil's mind?
I could do an entire ENN on this subject. I'm fascinated. Because the thing is, if you're a guy like Phil Mushnick, who's been beating the same tired drums day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year for all these years, if you're not a gutless puke, you don't even worry about it. You go right, you say, thank God. You post a column called "The Great National Nightmare Is Over," and you rip John Sterling to shreds.
I think he's going to go that route.
Yeah, I have a feeling that's what...
Is that what you think?
I do.
On the flip side, though, you could say, I have never been kind to John Sterling. It's not my cup of tea, but I am one man. It is my opinion, no matter how you cut it, he's made an indelible mark on New York, and for that, I salute him.
No, I don't see that. Do you, Don?
No, I think he's...
I mean, if he goes that route, color me startled.
I think that's...
Shocked, even.
So you, how far...
Flabbergasted.
How far do you think he'll go?
I think he'll go... He'll drill down real deep. He'll have bullet points
of
everything that John's done wrong.
You have to respect it, because at least there's consistency there.
Well, if he does it.
If he does it.
I think he will. Knowing Phil, I think he will.
Although, do you have to respect it? Wouldn't the classier thing be to not do that?
The classier thing is to leave it alone. But I've seen him, like, destroy people and revisit grievances of people that passed away. So, no, I don't think he's going
to
change. And
there's only one thing. Anthony's going to know what I'm talking about. There's only one thing. I've got to say goodbye to Yes.
Well, bye, Yes.
Wake up, Flip.
Yeah.
So if you want to listen to ENN, it's on radio, 98.7.
Why don't you shut up, Greek? On our way out the door. There's only one thing that John could hope for if he wants to really get avoided, if he just wants to completely be left out of Phil Mushnick's column. Hope there's some update on the Doug Adler story. You know, like if we find out that Doug Adler gets hired again for a tennis job, you know, on Thursday, then maybe Phil writes an article saying the great national nightmare is over, and he writes, waxes poetic on his friend Doug Adler. Otherwise, though, you may be right. It's going to be... Now, here's the question. Do you think John still reads it, or does he go, Michael, I don't care about what people have to say about me?
I mean, he reads the post in the news every day, so I'm sure he'll see it.
Now, Sterling hates John's work more than yours?
No, Mushnick.
I mean, sorry, what did I say, Sterling? Mushnick.
Well, when I first started, I actually have it hanging up in my basement, because it's just so... antithetical to what he writes now, but he loved me. He said I was a breath of fresh air and blah, 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 the descriptions of everything. He loved me. And along the way, he started to hate me, but no, I think he despises John much more than me.
Oh, much more?
Much more.
Well, good for you.
Well, I think that with John out now, that leaves a lot of hate left to go, so I think I'm going to absorb a lot of it. I'm still waiting for my first broadside swipe. He's written about me twice in columns, both positive, so I'm a little nervous about it.
So far this season?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, about things that I've done that he likes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure there's going to be almost a full page just excoriation of something I did wrong.
Excoriation.
It's almost a bit disconcerting.
It is. You know, he's got me on edge. I'm back on my heels.
I got to tell you, he's. I've never had that experience.
With what?
That he just writes something nice about me. You know what?
He hates your guts.
Peter Rosenberg made a great point.
No, never happened.
There's no way it's going to happen.
I mean, maybe the framing thing will pick it up and say that was wonderful. But
then he'd have to follow it up with, now what I'd like Peter to do is read the lyrics to Snoop Doggy Dogg's The Shiznit on the air. That would prove a point. He thinks he's so witty, and it's so boring.
He's done okay.
I realize, though. I looked.
He's done okay. You've done better.
Exactly.
But he's done all right.
No, but
you've
done better.
He's done fun.
And more birds' fannies have seen the article than people's eyeballs.
For whatever reason, the last time he wrote about me or wrote something that annoyed me, I decided to look in my email to, like, I was looking for his email address. Because sometimes I get so annoyed that I still want to write him. Not even just about...
I've got his email address.
I know. Not even just if it's about me. There's other stuff that he writes that I just find so irritating. And I searched in my email. And him and I have so many email exchanges. I'd, like, forgotten over the years how many times we fought over email about stuff. And even in his email, I'll give him one thing for consistency. He will still say the same stupid things to me that he says in his column. Well, I challenge you to go on the air and read the lyrics, blah, 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 blah.
I do give him credit for that, because I've had email exchanges with him, too, and he holds his ground.
Oh, he
does not give an inch.
You talk about, we like to get upset with Don and call Don. What didn't you call him today?
An obstinate.
An obstinate mule?
Yeah.
Phil,
a stubborn mule, obstinate.
Phil is on a different level. Michael, these opinions, his hatred of pro wrestling, him having it out for the WWE, it goes back 40 years. I mean, he is, if nothing else, he is consistent. So, it brings us full circle before we go to ENN. If he's not a gutless puke, he'll go right up and in on Sterling this weekend.
Oh, I don't think you have to challenge him. He will. Right, Don? That's the way we're betting.
Yeah, I bet.
You know what? I got to tell you, fun bonus to look forward to Monday.
No, Friday.
Oh, it'll be Thursday late night, right?
Yeah, it'll be on Friday's paper. We'll have all Friday content.
Oh, I can't wait till Friday. I'm reading it on the air. Can't wait.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.